venerable religious, dear parishioners, today we celebrate, of course, what is known as Good Shepherd Sunday. And we see wonderful expressions of this in today's epistle, and even more so in the gospel. And this is what we need to think of. And also I'm reminded of a beautiful Psalm 22. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So let's keep this image before our eyes of Jesus, the good shepherd. He has a staff in his hand. He uses that to guide his flock. And he loves his flock so much that he lays down his life for the flock. He dies for the sheep. As I was reading the epistle of St. Peter, he who was appointed to be the first pope of the Catholic Church, I couldn't help but think of the allusion, or rather the direct quotes that St. Peter was making to the prophecy of our Lord in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was one of the four major prophets of the Old Testament. He lived about 500 years before our Lord. And there are parts of Isaiah's gospel that are so expressive or clear or explicit, it's almost like you're reading the gospel. And I wanted to share with you chapter 53 of Isaiah, because St. Peter is directly quoting from this chapter. So, and this is what makes you think Isaiah is an eyewitness, and of course he's not, because he died as a martyr. He was put to death by a wicked king. But it's in his prophecy, he's seeing what the good shepherd was going to do. And I realize we reflect upon something like this more so during Lent, but really any time of the year, very fitting for us to think of what the good shepherd did for us, how he suffered for his sheep. So again, chapter 53 by the prophet Isaiah, written some 500 years before our Lord came on earth. And he shall grow up as a tender plant before him, and as a root out of a thirsty ground. There is no beauty in him, nor comeliness. And we have seen him, and there was no sightliness that we should be desirous of him. So what Isaiah is doing is describing what our Lord looked like in his horrible sufferings and rejection and condemnation and death. Despised and the most abject of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with infirmity, and his look was as it were hidden and despised, whereupon we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our infirmities and carried our sorrows, and we have thought him as it were a leper, and as one struck by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our iniquities, he was bruised for our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every one hath turned aside into his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was offered because it was his own will, and he opened not his mouth. He shall be led as a sheep to the slaughter, and shall be dumb as a lamb before his shearer, and he shall not open his mouth. He is cut off from the land of the living. For the wickedness of my people have I struck him. And the Lord was pleased to bruise him in infirmity. If he shall lay down his life for sin, he shall see a long-lived seed, and the will of the Lord shall be prosperous in his hand. He shall divide the spoils of the strong, because he hath delivered his soul unto death, and he was reputed with the wicked, and he hath borne the sins of many, and hath prayed for the transgressors. As you can see, this is one of the clearest prophecies of the Messiah. He was not going to conquer and rule like King Solomon or King David. He was going to come as the suffering shepherd. Who, isn't this interesting? As Isaiah is saying, he's even going to look like a sheep himself. He's going to be put to death like a sacrificial lamb. Remember the Paschal lamb that the chosen people of the Old Testament would sacrifice on the Passover. That lamb, and by the way, when it was skewered, and it was literally put on two pieces of wood like a cross. This is our good shepherd. He took the blows on himself. He took the punishment on himself. He atoned for our sins in his own body. He was put to death in atonement. The Heavenly Father willed that his Son in his human nature would lay down his life like this. So can we ever doubt, my dear brethren, that the Good Shepherd is taking care of us? It's true that we do not see him with our human eyes, but it is overwhelmingly plain. It is overwhelmingly convincing that the Good Shepherd will never abandon us, that he will always be there for us, that he will forgive our sins. I love that beautiful little painting right above the confessional. Our Lord, the Good Shepherd, is going after the lost sheep that is tangled up in the briars of sin. And Jesus wants so desperately, so much, to rescue the sinner from his or her sins. We can't doubt him, can we? No, we would never outright doubt that, but don't we sometimes practically begin to doubt, is he there? Is he really taking care of us? And we have to bring ourselves back to that act of faith. No, even though we cannot see him with our physical eyes, we know that he cannot, possibly will not, abandon us. He told the apostles before he ascended into heaven, I will be with you all days, even to the consummation of the world. What is very clear when we look at the history of the church, we will see that he will allow, he has allowed, he does allow, he will allow his church to go through great trials and tribulations. Look at the ages of persecution. And it wasn't just the first 300 years. There have been martyrs throughout the entire history of the church. There have been persecutions of the church. There have been failings on the part of many individuals in the history of the church. But the very fact that the church has existed for 2,000 years despite all the problems goes to show that Christ's promise is being fulfilled. The good shepherd never abandons his flock, those who are faithful to him. And even in the darkest hours, he is there, helping, assisting. Yes, we have to practice that act of faith. We are going through a tremendous trial now because of the devastation brought about by Vatican Council II. When we look at the history of the church, we see this unerring teaching. Never has the church officially taught error. Never has the church led the sheep astray through heresy. The true church cannot. Our Lord did give us a visible head of the church. Our Lord is always the invisible head. Never forget that. No matter what you may go through in life, Jesus is the invisible head of the church, the primary head of the church. But he did give us the Pope to be a visible head. And as I said, before Vatican II, every occupant of the papal chair, despite personal failings or sins, gave us true guidance. We can go back to any official teaching of any pope that's doctrinal, and we will find this marvelous consistency throughout it all. The truth is always there. But a terrible thing happened at Vatican Council II. Now we find official teachings that contradict past teachings of the church. Again, we've studied this in the Tuesday night classes, the teachings in Vatican II that directly contradict what the church taught before. And it's only gotten worse since then. How do we explain this? And there's only two possible explanations. You can't have any others. One of them is that the papacy has failed. That somehow Jesus' promise did not hold true anymore. The other explanation is that we have had false shepherds, invalid claimants. And as you can see, Jesus' promise cannot possibly fail. The papacy itself cannot possibly fail. The papacy can never be a means of false teaching and heresy in an official way. It's impossible. It's an explanation, but it's something that simply cannot happen. So the conclusion we then have to draw is that these are false shepherds, and that's why we do not follow them. Yes, it's a very difficult time, because not only has the problem been there, it's been throughout the world. Modernism took over, infected practically every single member of the hierarchy. None of them, or hardly any of them, are going to say there's a real problem in Rome. It's like everything's wonderful along this path of spiritual destruction. But what we need to remember, again, on this Good Shepherd Sunday and every day of our lives, the Good Shepherd is always there. The Good Shepherd never fails. Yes, we're going through a real trial. Sometimes this even affects families, where it splits families. How agonizing is that? But what we have to do is stay close to the Good Shepherd, to all of the teachings of the church that have been consistently there in such a marvelous way. Read what the church has traditionally taught. Keep studying that. That is an infallible guide. And when our Lord sees fit, he will heal the problem. He always does. We know we should have the utmost confidence. We don't know when, we don't know how, but we know that the Good Shepherd will always do what needs to be done. So take heart. Realize that there's a big plan, a big picture. Sometimes we can't, I don't think we can really ever see the big picture, but the Good Shepherd does. He will resolve things. What he wants us is not to have all the answers. He's the one that has all the answers. He doesn't expect us to have all the solutions. He has the solutions. What he does want from us is our faithfulness. What he does want is our obedience to him. We are his sheep. We must obey him. We must obey his teachings consistently taught, as I said, throughout all those centuries before this present trial that we're going through. He needs our faithfulness. He needs our humility. He wants our repentance for our sins. And let us have the greatest gratitude for him who laid down his life for us, his sheep. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.